I feel like that adds so much to a service. In 1 Peter 4 and 12, I feel like the Lord has given us some things. And, you know, I know there are a lot of burdens right now. And sometimes it seems like there are more burdens than at other times in different places, different families, different things. But I just feel like the Lord just specially impressed me with some of these things this morning. And I trust that the Lord will make it a blessing to us. In 1 Peter 4 and 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Seems like I've just been seeking the Lord. It seems like there's just different burdens. I've been praying, "Lord, we need you to help us." And we do. We need the Lord to help us. But you know, I feel like the Lord impressed this scripture on my mind. He said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You know, it never has been a strange thing for fiery trials. That's an adjective there that describes a trial. It's more than just a trial. It's a fiery trial. It's got fire in it. It can burn. It can hurt. And the Lord tells us here, I believe, don't think it to be strange. I was thinking about David. And the word that we read all through Psalms, he wrote a lot of those Psalms. And we see so many places where the Lord blessed David. And we see so many, we look back and he's one of the Bible characters, if you want to call it that. He's one of the people that we look back to with admiration for his life. And we see how God's hand was on David and how he blessed his life. But you know, David's life had some real trials in the middle of that. Some of those Psalms that he wrote are pretty heavy too. And so I just want us to think about this morning. I believe the Lord wants us to recognize, not to think it strange, that we're going to go through some things in this life. And we're going to face some fiery trials in this life. And I believe He wants these things to do some good things for us. And I believe that He would like for us to be aware so that we're not downtrodden and beat down with the fact that we face some things in life. I believe the Lord wants us to conquer in the midst of these. But I want to read a place in David's life where in 2 Samuel 15, we read some things about David that he went through. And I just felt like the Lord gave this to me. 15 and 12, 2 Samuel. It says here, "And Absalom," if you... We'll read a little here and then recount a little bit about what the story is about. Absalom, we all know, was David's son. And it says, "Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom.' And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword.' And the king's servant said unto the king, 'Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint.' And the king went forth, and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house." You know, this story, if you look back, if you look back up in, I believe, verse 2 maybe. We see the story here. David was king of Israel, as we know, and God gave that to him. And God blessed him. David was a wonderful king. over the land of Israel. And we see he had served the Lord a long time and God had blessed him. But in the middle of this, in the middle of this time of seeming to me somewhat prosperity, here the devil showed up on the scene. And we see a trial here that seems to me like would have been a pretty hard thing to face. It says Absalom, verse 2, rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. You know, when you begin to put together the picture here, Absalom was a wicked man. And he had in fact been banished for some time. But he came back. And then this was David's son, though. And he came back and he began to create a conspiracy against the king because he wanted to be king. And so he began to work in, he did this for years, it sounds like. I believe it says 40 years. That's what it seemed like when to me. Okay. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron." All these years he was creating, all these years he had this thing in his mind, this adverse, hideous thing seemed like. And you know, here was King David, and you see all the ways the Lord blessed him, and yet we see trials like this in his life. Why? Why did this happen? Why was he not able to contain this beforehand? I don't know. But you know, the word says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. You know, we're going to face some things too, and I can't think of one much worse than this to have to face. But it goes on in verse 23. I want to read a little more of this story. It says here, this is when Absalom, he wanted David to let him go up to Hebron, as we read in verse 7. He said he had a vow that he wanted to make good to the Lord. And really what he wanted to do there was go up and take over David's place and come back and kill him. And so in verse 23, we find David realizing Absalom had all of this following. He had all this trouble that was brewing, coming back to kill his own father. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have not no delight in thee,' behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king also said also unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return unto the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain in the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. You know, this was a low time in David's life. This wasn't just an enemy. This was his son. And he had come against him in this way. And you know, it says he went up barefooted. I don't know why he was barefoot. He went up with his head covered. And it says they went up weeping as they went. You know, I think about David. I see how that the Lord blessed him in so many places and in so many ways. And even here, the Lord delivered him. But I feel like there's something the Lord wants us to get out of this. We are all, no matter how blessed of the Lord we are, we will suffer tribulation. I believe the Lord wants us to know and mark it down in our heart. You are going to suffer some things that you should not have to suffer in life, if you want to say it that way. Why did David have to suffer this? What did he do wrong? Nothing. As far as I know, he didn't do anything wrong. But he suffered some tribulation. And the Lord tells us, don't think it strange. I want to read a number of other scriptures about that too. But Ephesians 6 and 16 has just been on my mind for a couple of months probably. And I look at this scripture, Ephesians 6 and 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, at times like this, I'm guessing David was in a place where he just felt like, you know, why? He didn't have much, I'm sure he didn't have much strength. He was weeping. He was barefooted. And then to say that, there was a fellow, one of Saul's descendants that was coming along, casting dirt down on him and throwing rocks at him and all of these kind of things. You know, that was tough. That was a hard place for David. But you know what? I believe David in many places had to lift up a shield of faith. A belief in God. I know that God is with me. I know that God is working. I know He made me king. I believe David had to come to that place where he recognized, you know what? There's going to be some things like this come in my life. But Lord, I believe. I know. And so when he said to them, he said, if the Lord, take the ark of God back to Jerusalem. Don't bring it with us. If God pleases to bring me back, he'll bring me back. And if he doesn't please to bring me back, then so be it, in other words. But you know, that was David's feeling. He had faith and confidence that God was with him. Saints, I just want to encourage us this morning. Our shield of faith is that thing, that belief in God, that will shield us from all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the enemy that would try to destroy our experience with the Lord, or that would try to cast us down. One place David wrote, I believe it was, he wrote, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And he wrote that all through that psalm. I remember it's written a number of times. "Why art thou cast down within me?" I believe it says, "God shall yet help me," something to that effect. You know, the Lord wants us to, I believe, recognize there is going to be many tribulations in life. But you know, God is going to be with us. I believe the Lord wants us to recognize, as David said, he didn't say, "Woe is me." He said, "If the Lord pleases, he'll bring me back. And if he doesn't please, that's okay." And the man that was throwing dust down upon him and throwing rocks on him, one of the fellows there said, "Shall I go up and take his head off?" And David said, "No." Maybe, you know, God told him to do that. He said, "God told him to do that." You know, that was David's feeling. There wasn't things coming in his life that wasn't ordained of God. And so he saw those things, and he saw all of that barefooted, weeping as he went. His heart was broken. This was his son. And yet, he said, his faith was there. If God delights in me, he will bring me back to this place. And if he doesn't, then that's his will, in other words. That's what God will do. You know, I believe, saints, The Lord wants us to take a shield of faith. A belief in God. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know He lives. And what He delights in, He will bring to pass. He will help me. Will He keep me from all tribulation? No. The Lord wants us to recognize we will be in many tribulations in life. David was in many tribulations. Was his life all tribulations? No. We read Psalms so many times for comfort, do we not? Many of those were written by David. Many of them were written by the deliverances that the Lord worked for David. The things that He helped him with. The way He lifted him up. The way He fought his battles. Did David come to the places that he came to without any battles? No. He had many battles in life. But David believed in God. One place it says even, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He believed in God. He had a shield of faith that he lifted up at times like that when the people spake of stoning him at that time. So I want us to take courage this morning. In Acts 14 and 22, there are many places in the Bible where the Lord tells us that we will be experiencing tribulation in our life. But it does not mean the kind of tribulation that destroys us. He actually wants it to be something that produces in the end those blessings that that other people feed from when they read the Psalms that we write by our life. In Acts 14 and 22, it says, confirming, Paul was going here, I believe he had just been stoned before this, if I'm right, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know, if we are not expecting this, then we will be in a state of shock when things happen in our lives. And where am I? The Lord wants us to recognize there's going to be much tribulation that you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. But what He doesn't say is that your life will be pressed down, your spirit will be destroyed. The Lord wants us to, through much tribulation, enter those places in the kingdom of God that we triumph and that we reign over our own feelings, our own emotions, those places that the devil would like to overthrow our faith. The Lord would like for us to have a shield of faith where we know our Redeemer liveth. I will not allow that kind of discouragement into my life. I believe the Lord wants us to overcome. In Matthew 4 and 18, we read about some of the disciples here. Matthew 4 and 18, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. You know, verse 19 says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You know, here was a place that the Lord spoke to these four apostles. And they definitely knew God spoke to me there. They knew that. I don't believe you could have ever taken that away. They knew Jesus came along and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so they up and followed the Lord. But you know, and then for several 3.5 years or so, they followed the Lord and they watched all the miracles that He did. They saw the things the Lord did. They saw all the presence of God. Peter and James and John, I believe, was at the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw all of those things. And I believe they were lifted up in that. And I believe their faith was strengthened. And I believe they could have said, I know one place, Peter there, Jesus asked some of the others, you going to go away too? And they said, Lord, to where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I believe their faith was strong in that way. But you know what? There came a time in their life, just a few years from this point. Now here was a definite place. God spoke to me there. You know, that's a place, folks, where we need to nail some things down. We need to take that faith, that knowledge, that belief. I know God spoke to me there. I know God has done this in my life. We need some of those places. And it says here, I want to go on down to John 21 and 1 and read some there. In John 21, and listen to this story. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Now, this was after Jesus had been crucified. And these brethren that had been called, they knew their name was called. They knew they had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. And their faith was fixing to be tried. Here, Jesus, it was already tried. Jesus had been crucified. And some of them on the road to Emmaus, they told the one there, they told Jesus there, they said, it was him that we had hoped was going to be, the hope of Israel anyway. They had hope in Christ, but now he's dead. And what is going to happen? You know what? They were in a time that faith that they had was being tried in a great way. And Peter did what was natural here. And we don't really fault him for that. But he just got up, says Simon Peter, verse 3, saith unto them, I go a fishing. That was what Peter was used to. He was comfortable in that place. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. He was so anxious to get to the Lord that he just jumped over. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now we remember a few years back, the Lord had called him plainly and he knew it. But now he was in a place that he was a little bit disillusioned and didn't know what to do. So he just went back to what he was doing. And we don't totally fault him for that. But Jesus paid him another visit. And he said, Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he saith unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know, Peter just needed another visit from the Lord. I just want to encourage us this morning. Many times God has visited us, has he not? We just need another little visit from the Lord sometimes. We just need to hold our faith until the Lord comes by again and gives us another little visit. Saints, I just want to encourage us this morning. We are in many tribulations right now. We understand that. But that does not mean God has forsaken us. We just need another little visit from the Lord. That's all we need. You know, this cleared everything up for Peter. The Lord told him, Peter, three times, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. That's what I want you to do. And so now, through all of this tribulation, Peter had some clear guidance. And then the Lord went on and told him, you tarry until you're endued with power. And the Lord gave them their instructions. But you know, there was a place there that they had to hold faith for a while. I just want to encourage us this morning. The Lord wants us to hold faith. Hold our shield of belief in God. Belief that God is with us. Belief that God is in your life. Knowing the things God has done in our lives. And knowing that we have not departed from Him. You know, the Lord has a shield of faith for us, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the enemy. All the things that would try to overthrow your faith. All the things that would try to make your life downtrodden and downcast. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to work in this. He wants to pay us another visit. He wants to give us more clarity than we've ever had before. Did He say we would not have tribulation? No, He said, don't think it to be strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. We're going to be in those places. The Lord wants us to expect them in our life and not think it to be strange. He wants to take those things. We're going to read some more scriptures about what God wants to do with some of those tribulations. Why does He allow tribulation? You know, tribulation, one scripture says, it works patience. And patience works experience. And experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. It means that hope takes us through. We're not disappointed in the end that we couldn't make it, because we have hope in God. We have a shield of faith that we believe we have hope in the Lord. We believe that He's there, that He's shielding, that He's standing between us and whatever the enemy has to offer. Oh, the Lord wants us to look up this morning. Look up to the Lord and allow Him to speak to us again. In Revelation 7 and 13, the Lord wants us to keep a few things in mind. He wants us to realize that the battles and the struggles that people get in this life are only temporary. In Revelation 7 and 13 it says, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? You know, there's another day, saints. There's another day. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, the Lord wants us. He's got a place for us. He's got a place that He's made for us. He wants us to know that, to keep our minds on that, to know we're going to come through great tribulation. We're going to come through some things, but saints, that's not the end of the chapter. That's not the end of the story. That's just one, if you want to call it, chapter in the story. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Is that built into our shield? Do we know that there is a time coming that this isn't the end of the story? Therefore, listen to this. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, the Word of God is precious. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's able to cut away the lies of the devil. It's able to cut away the things that would bind us to this earth and make us to realize there is a place. It's able to cut away. It's able to destroy the one that would destroy us. I want to go back and read again the first verse that we started with and then read on down from there in 1 Peter 4 and 12. Listen to these scriptures. Beloved, this is not just anybody. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know, there's another day, saints. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now He's talking about being partakers of Christ's sufferings. Okay, Christ suffered, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding glory. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, if we're reproached for our walk with God, happy are ye. That takes a little work sometimes. Because when tribulation comes, in our natural way, we hang our head. And we need the Lord to speak to us again. But He does that. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator. That's our faith picking up again. Committing our souls unto Him as unto a faithful Creator, believing that God is at the helm, believing that God will help us in our lives. I believe that this morning. I wanted to read a few other scriptures as well. I just, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to suffer as a criminal or because of dishonest behavior or as a busybody or as a murderer. But He tells us ahead of time, you're going to suffer as a Christian. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4, now I'm just going to read through some scriptures here. I don't often look up one word But there's several scriptures here I felt like the Lord wanted me to give. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4. For verily, when we were with you, well, I'll start at verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now, I want to read some other scriptures about tribulation. And the Lord telling us ahead of time that we're going to suffer some tribulation. Now, we want to keep in mind all through here, we're not talking about these things destroying us. We're talking about the grace of God rising up to meet the challenge. It's greater than the challenge. It's overwhelmingly greater than the challenge. And the Lord wants us to find that. And for He wants to visit us and help us in these things. In John 16 and 33, I wanted to notice too that third verse we just read says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Man's life has many things in it. In John 16 and 33, Jesus was speaking to them, and we've heard this many times. But He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace." That was the Lord's words. He wanted us to know there is peace in these times. He says that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now He said, He told them this on purpose because He wanted them to know. And He wanted them to know before the things came. He said, in Me you will have peace. You know, the Lord wants us to, I believe, have peace. He wants us to have many enjoyable days. But it takes faith sometimes to be able to reach out to God and take our eyes off of those tribulations. Because Jesus told us, He said, in Me, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to suffer these things. Don't expect to be exempted from that. But in Me, it's going to drive you closer to Me. It's going to put you on your knees. And I'm going to give you that peace that passeth understanding. I'm going to give you that joy that no man can take from you. I'm going to give you those places in your life. You know, the Lord wants us to recognize He wants us to get to some of those places too. The Lord wants us to recognize not only will we have tribulation, but there is great grace in the things of the Lord. I have overcome the world. I quoted Romans 5 and 3 a while ago. I'm going to read that anyway again. And hope maketh, well, starting at 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There's a work that the Lord plans on these things doing in our life. And He said it worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know, sometimes you get into things in a job situation, and at first it just seems like, I have no idea what to do here. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing. But you get through it, don't you? And you find the answers. You begin to work. You just have to start somewhere. And you begin to work through those things. And you know, after a while, after you've been on the job for 10 or 20 years, you begin to realize, you know what, there are answers. And so when things come up, you just begin, I got to start somewhere. Lord, I need a little help here. And you begin to work through things. And you know, that experience is really valuable because after a while, it don't unnerve you like it did the first time. Well, you know, that's the way tribulations in our life works. He says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that it works patience and patience experience. And because we've experienced these things over and over, it works hope. and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Just a few more scriptures here, 4 or 5. Romans 8 and 35. Another. Who shall separate us? Paul was writing this. And you know, I believe Paul knew what tribulation was about. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Every one of those things, you start examining those things. What's the sword talking about? That's talking about war. That's talking about whatever coming right down in your place. Now, we've always known in America war being somewhere thousands of miles away. But it's talking about, Paul says, if it comes to your door, if the sword, however that is, comes along close, is it going to separate us? Is that death going to separate us? Or peril? Or persecution? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Saints, I just feel like the Lord wants us to take courage today. We are not victims. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not talking about hanging on in a way that we just have to hang on. He said it's not able to separate us from the love of God. There's something down in here that God wants to put within that's greater than the temptation. In Romans 12 and 2, it says, and be not conformed that's not the scripture I wanted. Okay. Yeah, it's 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 4, just a few more here. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Listen to this. Now, verse 3, I'll read that first. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Listen to this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. You know, it's pretty easy when you're young to be pretty hard on people sometimes. And you see people and you say, why do they do that? And you say things. At least I had to get through some of that. I didn't mean to be critical. But you know what? After you suffer a little, you realize people hurt. People have some places that they need comforted. They need somebody that understands what tribulation is like. And the Lord says to us here through His Word, He says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Lord doesn't plan for us to be in tribulation and not receive that wonderful comfort that only God can give. He wants us to receive that so that we might be able, when we look on a world that's full of trouble, you know, it's easy when you're young, I'll say, it's easy to see people through critical eyes. Why do they live like that? You know what? Maybe that's the way they were taught. I'm not making an excuse for them, but they need help. Their mindset needs changed. Maybe they're that way because that's the only thing they know. Yes, God wants to change their life. And He wants to put something in our hearts that feels compassion for them. And so He lets us go through some tribulation. He lets us know what it's like to come to the end of our way. The Lord does that so that we might be able to comfort others with a comfort that only God can give. When we see people doing crazy things, you know what? Many times what they need is somebody to step up and say, I love you. And it might just be by something you do. May not be the words even. But people need that. God wants to work that in our heart and life. There are many things that severe tribulations works in our life. Why did the Lord let David go through all of those things before he became king? Why was he hunted like he was? Because God wanted a faithful man to lead. He wanted somebody that wouldn't get in that place and then abuse his power. And the Lord began to work with David. And He put him through many areas of training. God did that so David would be a faithful king in the place the Lord put him. You know, the Lord is working in our lives. What is He doing? I don't know what He's doing in all of our lives. But He puts tribulation there. He has a work He wants it to do. He wants us to realize it's going to be there. Not all the time, but it's going to be there in full fashion sometimes. For years at a time sometimes. I believe it's going to be that way in most people's lives. And you know what? The Lord wants us to go deeper. He wants us to find that well of salvation and draw some joy out of it. With joy, we'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. The Lord wants us to go deeper in our lives. He'd like the peace to be a deeper peace from the Holy Spirit. Not because things went away and was okay. He wants to work in our lives some ways. But it comes at a crumbling. I thought what Rosie taught this morning in Sunday school. The death that we die. What is it? It's a crumbling of our flesh. And what comes in its place when the seed crumbles and dies and loses its identity? There's still life in there. A wonderful tree emerges. God wants that to happen in our life in different ways. Let us lift up the shield of faith. Let us travel on. In Revelations 1 and 9, another scripture. I, John, Revelation 1 and 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here he was banished to an island, alone, I suppose. And it says, I was for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You know, in that place that he was at was one of the greatest blessings John ever gave to the world. The Lord gave to him a vision, gave to him the revelation, and told him, talked to him about the churches, told him about future events and all of those things in that place that John was in. And he said, see, he wasn't there alone. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In the middle of his banishment. That was not an easy place to be. In 2 and 9. Unto the angel, at verse 8. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. That's as far as I want to read in that verse. John writing, the Lord telling John what to write here. He said, I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. But you're rich. You know, these people, I believe, he goes on down. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What a promise the Lord has given us today. You know, we'll receive a crown of life. But he says not only that, but he said, thou art rich. Thou art rich. They were rich in things this life could never give. If they didn't have any tribulations, and all they had was riches and pleasures, they'd be poor in the eyes of God. They'd be destitute and naked and alone and heading for an eternity. But he says, thou art rich. I just want to encourage us today. I believe the Lord wants us to be able to drink deep at the fountain of God. Don't let the tribulations of life damper us down. The Lord, I believe, wants us to take courage. Doesn't mean something's wrong. We will have tribulations in life. And Lord, help us to all dig deeper. Lord, I want to know. I want to find that deeper place of peace. I want to find those places where you can teach me lessons that are valuable. Lessons I can use in life. Y'all pray for us too.